So this week I changed the script on Jamie and I picked the location based off of my story, and then I found two stories. So I thought instead of only giving you one of my stories, I may as well give you a mini-sode. So this week we have extra content for you as a little bonus.
I'm excited for your other little story, because the first one, which is in the previous episode, had me absolutely stumped, and it was very...
I think you had your mouth open for the full episode. Like every time I looked at you, you were like, what is happening?
Yeah, it was definitely, there's so many plot twists. It was in a roller coaster of emotions. So I hope this one you've got for us in this little mini episode tops it. For anybody else who wants to know a little bit more about New Jersey, obviously you're more than welcome to have a little listen to our previous episode.
So this week it is The Watcher House, and it is a newer story, which always makes me a little nervous, but I think we're okay to dig into this one. So Watcher House actually went viral back in 2015, so only about 7 years ago, and it went viral when a local reporter found a complaint online. There was a lawsuit involved that we'll get to eventually, and when the reporter did their thing and reported on it, the story came out about The Watcher House.
I've never heard of The Watcher House. You said it was recent, 2015, you said?
Yeah,
never even heard of it.
So it's located about 45 minutes outside of New York. Like I said, New Jersey, New York, real close to each other. And the Watcher House is in a town called Westfield. It's your classic sleepy suburb where, you know, not a lot happens in the town. The biggest thing that they say happened in Westfield before this story is when the roof of a local Trader Joe's collapsed. So that gives you, you know, so
it's a proper... Yeah, it's a proper little sleepy town that you don't expect much to unfold, but I presume we're going to completely change the history of this little sleepy town with this here story you got for us.
Indeed we are. So the Watcher House is at 657 Boulevard, and it belonged to a family called the Brodesses. So Maria actually was raised in Westfield, the wife of the story, and lived a few blocks from 657 Boulevard. And so her parents were like just around the corner, basically, is what I'm getting at. Her husband, Derek, grew up in Maine, but worked in Manhattan for an insurance company and worked his way up the ladder until he was a senior vice president. And they wanted to live just outside of the city and commute into New York for work. So they bought this house in Westfield as Derek celebrated his 40th birthday. So the family's excited, they're new homeowners, they're celebrating. One night in June 2014, Derek was working on some renovations before the family moved in. They had closed on the house only 3 days earlier, so he's giving a couple of the rooms a fresh coat of paint and decides he's going to go outside and check the mail. So he walks to the mailbox, gets a couple of bills, our favorite thing to get in the mail. as well as a card-shaped envelope. And this is where things get interesting. So on the outside of the envelope in handwriting, it says, to the new owner.
Okay.
And inside the note says, dearest new neighbor at 657 Boulevard, allow me to welcome you to the neighborhood. 657 Boulevard has been the subject of my family for decades now as it approaches its 110th birthday. I have been put in charge of watching and waiting for its second coming. My grandfather watched the house in the 1920s, and my father watched it in the 1960s. It is now my time. Do you know the history of the house? Do you know what lies within the walls of 657 Boulevard? Why are you here? I will find out.
Oh no. That is so creepy. Even if you do disregard the entire part about, do you know the history here? But just the fact that you've got a family that it seems they're just dedicated to like watching.
He's claiming generations have been watching this house. It's terrifying.
That's weird. Especially if you've got kids. That's really weird.
And they do. So the letter writer seemed to know all about the family. They knew the family's car. They noticed the contractors who were helping with the renovations, and they noticed things about the younger members of the family. The letter went on to identify some information about their minivan, saying, "I see you already have flooded 657 Boulevard with contractors so that you can destroy the house as it was supposed to be. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Bad move. You don't want to make 657 Boulevard unhappy."
Why? It's weird that they're referring to the house as 657 Boulevard and not just say the house.
Yeah, that they always use the address.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, I mean, I know where I live. I'm collecting the mail. You don't have to. Oh, it's okay. It's just getting weird and spooky.
The letter also talked about the kids, like I said, which I think is the worst part.
Yeah.
It said, "You have children. I have seen them. So far, I think there are three that I have counted. Do you need to fill the house with the young blood I requested? Better for me. Was your old house too small for the growing family? Or was it greed to bring me your children? Once I know their names, I will call to them and draw them to me."
I mean, if this podcast was for adults only, every swear word under the sun would be coming out right now. Obviously, I'm not a dad. I'm only 26. I'm young blood. But, oh no.
It just leaves you speechless. Like, it's the things of movies. This doesn't happen in real life.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if it's like an old little woman or an old man next door, you know, just being friendly, I kind of get that. But the fact you don't even know who this person is and they're referring to your children as young blood for them and they're going to like lure your children. Oh no.
And this is 2015. This isn't one of my old stories. Like, this is recent. So the envelope had no return address and also wrote, this is some more of the letter for you. "Who am I? There are hundreds and hundreds of cars that drive by 657 Boulevard each day. Maybe I am in one. Look at all the windows you can see from 657 Boulevard. Look at all the people who stroll by each day. Maybe I am one. Welcome, my friends. Welcome. Let the party begin." And then signed in a cursive font, "The Watcher."
The Watcher? Oh, no.
And that's why it's called the Watcher House, because of how this person signed the letters.
So I'm just on Google Maps now, and I'm looking at the house in question. It's a creepy house, but I mean, it's not, it's just your typical American suburb. Like, you're kind of getting that instant picture of, you know, abandoned house that's run down and stuff like that. But it's just, it looks like an ordinary house. Like, there's a school nearby. There's a little commercial zone down the road. It's just seems normal. And this is kind of the scary part that's getting me is it, because it is so normal. Like you said, these here things don't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And you don't expect them to happen.
So this was the first letter that Derek got. And, you know, it's, I think, scary too, because he got it at night. So he looked at it. It was after 10 p.m. He was alone in this new house. He runs around the house. He's turning off the lights so no one can see inside. And he calls the Westfield Police Department. They send an officer to the house. The officer reads the letter and asks Derek, "Do you have any enemies?" Derek, of course, is like, "No." The police officer recommends him to move a piece of construction equipment from the back porch so that the watcher doesn't throw it across a window to get inside of the house, which is not the most helpful advice, but I guess thanks. After meeting with the police, Derek rushes back to his wife and kids, who are living in their old home. Still, they're living in the same town, so they're just kind of moving to a bigger house.
Yeah.
And he tells his wife, you know, this is what happened. And together, the couple write an email to the previous tenants, John and Andrea Woods, who sold them the house, to say, "Hey, like, this is what happened to us. Did it happen to you?" Because obviously the house is talking about how it's been watched for years and years. And I didn't read this in the earlier note But the earlier note also said that they had asked the Woods, which is this family that they're writing to bring them young blood, and it looks like they listened. So they're like, did we get like screwed here that this couple was told,
Hey. So let me just jump on this train. There was somebody in the family in the house called the Woods previously to Derek and his family coming in.
Yeah.
And the Watcher messaged the Woods saying, please bring me young blood, just like Derek has received. And now Derek's thinking, well, they are the young blood.
Yeah, that's what it seems like now that the family has children. Is it like, oh, they were looking for a family with young kids because this Watcher asked for quote unquote young blood?
Oh, no.
So Andrea gets back. Andrea Woods replied the next day saying, you know, a few days before they moved out, the Woods did get a letter from the Watcher, and it was weird, saying that, you know, this person had watched the house over some time. But other than the one that they got as they were moving out, they never got anything in the 23 years that they lived in the house. So they threw the letter away, not really thinking of anything about it. So Maria goes to the police station. She's the wife of Derek. So she's the other half of the Broaddus's that were moving in, and talks to Detective Leonard Lugo, who tells her not to tell anyone about the letters. Don't tell anything to your new neighbors. Just kind of go about, you know, regular life, which is easier said than done. They continue to be kind of on high alert for the next couple of weeks. Derek cancels a work trip, and whenever Maria takes the kids to their new house, she kind of tries to keep a close eye on them. But kids, you know, they're young, they're gonna play, they're gonna do their own thing, they're gonna run around. So she yells their names to make sure that they kind of stay within sight. And the family continues to do renovations. So Derek's giving a tour to a couple on the block, and he's taking them around the house, you know, kind of showing things around. And the wife says, it'll be nice to have some young blood in the neighborhood, which you can imagine really freaked him out.
So, yeah, things are, I don't want to say adding up, but I mean, it gives you a lot of concern for suspicion.
Yeah. So 2 weeks after the letter arrived, Maria goes to look at some paint samples and just check the mail. And of course, she finds an envelope and calls the police. This time, the Watcher addresses Derek and Maria directly, though they do spell their names wrong. In the second letter, the Watcher boasts that they have learned quite a bit about the family, talking about, I am pleased to know your names now and the name of the young blood you have brought to me. You certainly say their names often. The letter also talks about one child in particular, because one of the kids was like into painting. And so they had like an easel inside of the porch, mm-hmm. and was like saying in the letter, is she the artist in your family? Like asking about one child specifically.
And I think it's kind of important to clarify the age of these kids. Like, they're not young teens. They are, you know, not babies, but I mean,
how old they were, but I think if I was guessing, they're all under like 9.
Yeah, they're all, like, I'd say that as well.
The letter continues. 657 is anxious for you to move in. It has been years and years since the young blood ruled the hallways of the house. Have you found all of the secrets it holds yet? Will the young blood play in the basement, or are they too afraid to go down there alone? I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far away from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream. Will they sleep in the attic, or will you all sleep on the second floor? Who has the bedrooms facing the street? I'll know as soon as you move in. It will help me to know who is in which room. Then I can plan better. All of the windows and doors in 657 Boulevard allow me to watch you and track as you move through the house. Who am I? I am the Watcher, and I have been in control of 657 Boulevard for the better part of 2 decades now. The Woods family turned it over to you. It was their time to move on, and they kindly sold it when I asked them to. I pass by many times a day. 657 Boulevard is my job, my life, my obsession, and now you are too, Broaddus family. Welcome to the product of your greed. Greed is what brought the past 3 families to 657 Boulevard. And now it has brought you to me. Have a happy moving day. You know I will be watching.
The podcast doesn't show the shock on my face and the horror on my face.
Oh, I'm sure everyone's like, WTF is happening right now.
Yeah, like, there's no subtlety. It's just simply, don't go in the basement because no one will hear you scream. I know where you. I can plan by knowing where you are in your house. Are you going to sleep in the middle floor or the attic? Like, there's no.
It's scary to me, and I think it's like the most creepy that they really know the layout of the house. You know, they know which rooms are facing the street, the attic, that there's a basement, that there's, you know, different levels to the house. And yeah, it's just spooky.
I mean, there's just, the thing is, I mean, you could assume that, you know, it's a person across the street, but at the same time, if their family has been watching the house for generations, well, you know, the family could be, or the watchers, sorry, could be literally anywhere because they've already got that ground knowledge. You don't have to be constantly out their window at the woods or their window, Derek's window.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't like this at all. But I'm intrigued. So
they get a home inspector to come check the walls because he's talking about, you know, how the walls have things and know things. But the walls don't have anything unusual. But just to be safe, Derek and Maria stop bringing the children to the house because they're no longer sure, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
And they kind of postpone whether or not they're going to move in. And this is when several weeks later, a third letter comes that says, "Where have you gone to? 657 Boulevard is missing you."
That's not right.
So Derek and Maria decide they're going to file a lawsuit in 2015 against the Woods family because they didn't disclose that they did receive the letter from the watcher before the sale. But in 2017, a New Jersey judge throws out the lawsuit, saying it could set an unreasonable precedent about what sellers have to disclose. Because usually if, you know, something happens on the property, like a murder, by law, there's different rules around what they have to say and what they don't have to say. So I guess this, like, oh, they got like a threatening letter. The judge is worried that. So Derek and Maria continue to try and decide what they want to do. They decide that maybe they would split the home into two lots. But the city planning board blocks this motion. So the family decides to lease it. And after new tenants move in, Derek goes to visit the house to deal with some squirrels on the roof, and the renters hand him a familiar envelope.
No, no.
The letter was addressed to the vile and spiteful Derek and his wench of a wife, Maria. This final letter from the watcher threatened to exact revenge on them if they harm the house, saying, "Maybe it'll be a car accident, maybe a fire, maybe something as simple as a mild illness that never seems to go away, but makes you feel sick day after day after day. Maybe it'll be the mysterious death of a pet. Loved ones suddenly die. Planes and cars and bicycles crash. Bones break. You wonder who the watcher is? Turn around, you idiots." So basically just taunt them that, you know, if they do anything to the house in terms of harming it, there will be repercussions. So the police actually do investigate around who the watcher is. Of course, the most notable suspects would be the neighbors, the real estate agent that sold them the house. But there's also some questions around if the police had an inside role in the case or if the family planned the whole thing. People seem to think it could have been an angry neighbor because the letters, you know, of course, had really detailed knowledge about the house, talked about the residents' activities, and suggested that the letter writer lived nearby. You know, talking about, you can see the windows from this boulevard. Yeah. Maybe I'm in one of them. So that's kind of why people thought it was maybe a neighbor.
I mean, you could, I mean, it's 2005 or 15, sorry. Technology does exist. You just put a video camera up to see who drops off the letter.
Some people speculate a real estate hawk looking to acquire the house maybe sent the letters to try and drive the price down, because it is a huge house. So they could get a really good markdown on it. That could be better for the real estate agent. It's also possible that the family outbid the watcher. So maybe that's why they're not happy. But skeptics do wonder why police didn't do more about the letters. And people actually also allege the police's inability to carry the Watchers, maybe alluding to a conspiracy. It's quoted that one of the letters talk about, my soldiers of the boulevard follow my orders to a T. So they're like, my soldiers, could that be like the police having some intimate knowledge about this? I don't know. Some people, of course, believe the family made the story up to get media attention, some book deals and movie deals. But others think that maybe they, you know, just wanted to get rid of an overpriced house. Maybe they started the renovations and then realized it's a lot more work than they thought it would be. So they then went about, you know, like, what can we do to get this off of our hands?
Like, get a refund kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of. But the Broaddus family actually turned down movie deals. And when Lifetime, do you know Lifetime?
No, but I presume it's like a big TV, like an Ellen DeGeneres show kind of thing.
It's like a network that makes like movies and TV series about real life situations.
Okay.
They sent Lifetime a cease and desist letter when the network released a movie called The Watcher without the Broaddus' family's permission.
Oh. Yeah, so should they, now they're not in it for publicity nor money.
The police suspected next door neighbor Michael Langford, who was diagnosed with schizophrenia for a long time. According to his brother, sometimes Michael would spook newcomers to the neighborhood. So they were like, okay, maybe it's this guy. But DNA was found in one of the envelopes. And when they tested the DNA, it was found to be a woman who sealed it with her saliva. And the sample didn't match anyone in the Langford home. So I don't know. This led authorities, though, they began to investigate Abby Langford, who is Michael's sister. Abby worked as a real estate agent. So that was like two, you know, tacks against her. They thought maybe she sent the letters to get revenge for missing out on a big commission in her neighborhood. But detectives did go through with testing Abby's DNA against the letter and found that she was not a match for the genetic markers on the letter.
That's crazy that we can get the genetics of somebody who licked a piece of paper.
Isn't that like scientists are cool when it comes to these cases and helping to exonerate people?
I don't know how people get away with murder and crime nowadays. It's like DNA, just, do you know?
Yeah.
You licked a letter. I understand if it was blood or something like that, but you licked a letter and and you just decipher some information like the gender and I presume the age and probably what they ate that night.
I don't know if it's that detailed, but the genetic markers are pretty cool, how we all have our unique code.
Yeah, it really is.
Desperate for answers, the Broadduses get experts to investigate. And I think this is like the coolest part of the whole story. Derek reaches out to real-life FBI agent who inspired the character of Clarice Starling in Silence of the Lambs.
Okay, so they're actually bringing some talent into the investigation.
Yeah, but like for like threatening ominous letters, I don't know if it's FBI worthy or not. But just to show how much money like this like kind of neighborhood has, he was on the school board of trustees with her. So they get the FBI agents to do a threat assessment on the letters. Their analysis showed that the writer was likely an older person based on vocabulary and the habit of double spelling after a period. The FBI also concluded that the letter writer didn't appear to be overly threatening, but they did have obviously erratic thoughts that could suggest unpredictability.
How did they get that? How did they get non-threatening to erotic?
Process it takes for them to do that. Maybe it's because it looked like it was an old person that they were like, you probably are fine.
Okay. Not sure. That's weird.
The Broadduses also hired the security firm Kroll to look for handwriting matches to the envelope, but they didn't find any. Though the family continued to hunt for answers and hired a forensic linguist to score local forums for language patterns that matched the writer's. But these efforts didn't come to anything. which I think are really interesting pathways to go down. They're looking for people to troll the internet to see if people write similar, and they look for people who have similar handwriting, which I don't even know where you would go about getting handwriting samples. Do you go door to door in the neighborhood? Hey, please write this sentence.
Yeah, we're signing a petition. Please just write this sentence for me, please. Yeah, cheers.
This quote really stood out to me, and I think it goes back to what you were saying around, you know, like, you're not a dad, but if you had children, like, this would really freak you out. So Maria was quoted saying, at the end of the day, it came down to, what are you willing to risk? We aren't going to put our kids in harm's way.
Yeah, it's just a house at the end of the day. Yeah, I kind of get it, but though, I mean, there's probably a lot of financial loss in it. But
I can tell you exactly how much financial house.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah.
They ended up selling the house in 2019 and a $400,000 loss.
Oh, 4 years and $100,000 a year. That's a lot of money.
Hey, small price to pay for peace of mind.
Yeah. Whoa, that's only $400,000 in the house value. That's probably doesn't take into consideration the amount of money they spent on the FBI, investigators, handwriting analysis people, and then people to go door to door and ask them for their samples.
I don't know that they actually went door to door. I'm just getting these handwriting?
I know. I think you're closer to $500,000.
It must not be very Maybe pretty more. Of a price tag. But the mystery remains. But for those of us that are very interested in this case, Deadline reported that Netflix has purchased the rights to the story.
Oh.
And the best part is that Ryan Murphy's name is on it. And so you know it's going to be good. Because Ryan Murphy is the guy who does American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. And he did Glee, which is not the same genre, but still great to be. And it was a 7-figure deal for the rights. So they got a pretty good price tag to sell the Watchers story. Yeah.
I know we're making a podcast about this kind of stuff, but I always find this topic quite weird. Like, you're going to be, you know, Netflix is releasing a TV series or a mini show, about a tragic event this family has went through and the horrors, and they haven't probably had many, many sleepless nights and lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And people are geared up to watch a TV series about it. It's kind of true crime. Yeah. Kind of weird. I understand why it's interesting.
Yeah, it was, a 7-figure deal, and New York Magazine got the rights to the family story as well. That was going to be set for a featured film. So they're doing okay. They eventually sold the rights to the story, which makes me then question, okay, so you weren't wanting to sell your rights before. What has changed now?
Well, they're $500,000 less off. That's what's changed.
But that's the story of the Watcher House. And I'll just do a quick run of my resources. So I used The Cut, Today, The New York Times, All That's Interesting, and a Ranker article.
Well, Cassie, thank you very much for that little mini episode. I think from the thing I'm getting away from that is, without scaring people, things aren't always what you see. You know, that house that we've just talked about, it seems quite normal in a normal little place, in a normal little family, but something like this has happened. So unfortunately, these things do happen in modern times. You know, this is only 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So if you get any people watching your house, make sure you go door to door and ask them for handwriting stuff.
So yeah, lock your doors. Keep an eye out for watchers. Check those mailboxes, and we'll see you at our next destination somewhere around the world.
Bye.
On behalf of the flight crew, thank you for flying with us and have a pleasant day.